One thing that didn't change, I have a joke. And it's not me. Read this week and I thought it was good. Shortly before Christmas, there was a businessman and he had been traveling. He was anxious to get home, and I know what that's like, having traveled a lot. And the business trip had been grueling, been very demanding on him, and he just wasn't in a very good mood. So the airports, the loudspeakers were singing Christmas carols, playing Christmas carols, and he had heard all the Christmas carols that he had wanted to hear, and looked around and thought the decorations looked a little tacky, especially the plastic mistletoe that was hung over the luggage scale. And so, being in a grumpy mood, he said to the woman at the counter, he said, "You know, even if I weren't married, I wouldn't kiss you." She said, "Well, that's fine. That's not what it's there for. It's so you can kiss your luggage goodbye." Thanks, Scott.
That one needed it.
I had a message all prepared, as I do every Sunday, one of those, you know, awesome messages that, I'm just kidding. And I guess it was Wednesday morning. I woke up, it was Thursday morning, woke up at 3:38. That's not a good time to wake up, even if you go to work at 5 o'clock. And so I was wrestling about the message and wrestling with God about a few things. Fortunately, I didn't walk away like Jacob. It's not my hip, it's my knee. And then I woke up 5:58 on Friday morning and finally said, "Okay, you win." So I got up and went and said to the computer, redid the message. And don't really know why, but there's a reason. And I think that reason is probably something that someone here needs to hear. And I don't know who it is, but I think it's definitely from God. Paul said it so well in 1 Corinthians 13. Faith, hope, and love. And that's what it's all really about. Hope is all we have in a fallen world today. That's it. Jesus came to save that fallen world. He came that we might have life and that we might have it abundant on this earth. But we might have something after death. And that's the second life. So that's why we really celebrate his birth and celebrate Christmas. Believe it or not, there are some denominations that call themselves Christians that do not celebrate Christmas. Because the Bible doesn't say you should celebrate Christmas. It doesn't tell me I should shake hands and hug Roger Creasy every Sunday, but I do it. I've always been, you know, somewhat thought about that, but God thought so much of us to send his son to be born of a virgin. And what he did in that birth was he combined the divine with the human. Would you click the first slide? This slide is something that Greg and I was looking at some different slides this week, and Greg first showed me a slide that he had, and I was thinking, a lot of people have a problem with Santa Claus. I don't have a problem with Santa Claus. I really don't. I don't have a red suit, but I don't have a problem with Santa Claus. And some people get wrapped up in those type of things. But it brought to my mind when I saw this picture that Santa believes. And Santa believes in Jesus. I always ask our Operation Magi families, or Nancy asks them, "Where do you go to church?" Or, do you go to church? I always approach it from where first, because I don't want to condemn anyone. So where do you go to church? Some of them will tell us, you know, that they do. Some of them will tell us that they don't. This year we did something a little bit different. Well, last year we did something a little bit different when we invited them in to pick up their gifts. And if you look around, all these trees are bare, but they weren't last Sunday. And so what we did this year, we gave them a visitor card and asked them to fill it out. If you've got an email address, put it on there. Ten cards that we had, 60% of them said they would be interested in joining a church. This one. It's a pretty good result when you really stop and think about it, because that's just one of the questions on there, and we didn't ask them that. But we asked them to fill out a card, and I told them, I said, I'm going to be in contact with you. And we're going to pray for you. We're going to believe the best for you in 2017. And the very last person that came in on Thursday, I'll share a little bit more about her later, but I told her, I said, one of these days, you're going to be in the position to do for others what we did for you today. And that's the hope part of it. But she told me in talking with her, she said, every time it seems like I get a little ahead, something comes along and sets me back. And I called her by name and I told her, I said, that happens to a lot of people. Not just someone in your situation, but it happens to a lot of people. And we were talking, and I asked him, you know, I mean, I don't know, I talk to people a lot. And I said, where do you work? And she works at a place that Bruce hooked me up to called Valley Thrift Shop. And she said, I've been working there about 3.5 weeks. And I said, well, good. You know, I try to encourage people to work and to do something. And she said, but I just can't seem to get ahead. And I said, it's going to happen. And as I was talking to her, all of a sudden, standing right back there where Chris is sitting, she started crying. Put my hand on her shoulder. I said, it'll be okay. It'll be fine. She said, I can't believe you did all of this for us. And I said, you can't believe how much fun we have doing this. And so she's a mother, single mother with 3 kids. And I asked her, I said, where do you go to church? And she said, I'm a little turned off by church. And I looked her in the eye and I said, you can get a little turned on by church too. But come to find out, apparently there had been some type of relationship with her and her father that went awry. And then they went to another church and something happened. Those are difficult things for people to overcome. But I told her, I said, there is hope for you. And so I told her, I said, hope will come back to you. And I believe it. And I tried to speak some positive stuff into her. Faith. Paul said, faith, hope, and love. Faith is what we have in each other. Faith is what we have in God. Faith is what we have when, and I'll be honest with you, I may seem like life is going well. And someone once said, it's easier to tell people life is okay than explain what's wrong with it. There's probably some truth to that. But there are times that things get to me. Well, you're the pastor. Yeah, it didn't make any difference. I am thankful when I talk to people and I say, I need to sit down and talk to you all about something. That someone will send me back a note and say, you have my confidence. That's faith in someone. That's faith in believing. Two ladies come in Thursday morning together. And we scheduled them apart so that they just might not run into somebody they knew. You know, I love what Nancy does about the clothes at the clothing closet, is not take stuff to Ross that she thinks somebody might have worn in Ross, because someone might look at that and say, well, that was my shirt. That's love, not doing that. But I appreciate this. But these two ladies coming together, and they'd both been to the wrong church. I'm not sure how much bigger sign we could put out there that says Ross Community Church in yellow. But we may need a bigger one. But those two ladies walked in, and one cares for a small child, and the other has four children, her and her husband. And she said, I thought we were not going to have Christmas this year because that church said they didn't have anything. And I told her, I said, faith is believing beyond someone telling you no. Faith is believing that there is something out there for me, something better for me, something God has ordained for me. We're not here by accident. We are here because God has a plan for all of us. But Paul said faith, hope, and love, but he said love is the greatest of gifts. And when we look around today, and I referenced it earlier, and we see empty tables, and that is the epitome, folks, of love. I'm not, I frustrate Cindy, excuse me, a lot of times. But one of the things that it annoys her is when we're in a grocery store somewhere and I give somebody a 20 and I tell them how much change I need before they can get it in, punched into the register. You've all been there. And so I tried to do the math of figuring out what you all did. And my numbers are already wrong. But I will tell you there were at least 70-some people that we helped with 4 to 5 gifts apiece. That's close to 300. Those 12 families all got a basket of food. They got a laundry basket. One lady said, do I get to keep the laundry basket? Yeah. There was, every other family got 2 more bags of food. Now, I will tell you that there are some people, when we called to confirm the appointment, said, you are bringing food, aren't you? And I said, no. No, I said yes. But it's interesting. I would encourage you next year, take a couple hours out of your day when we have them come back and just share some of the stories over a cup of coffee and a donut about what the impact is on people's lives. But that's not counting what you did for the Salvation Army. I think we had 31 people All they needed, all they really wanted was a coat and a pair of shoes. That was the instructions from the Salvation Army. I delivered to the Salvation Army another 124 gifts that you provided for people. You never really know what's going on in people's lives until we take an opportunity to show them a little love. I'll refer to this as family number 9. But family number 9 sent a thank you via Facebook and thanked us for the gifts, said her and her husband had opened theirs early and they just loved them. And said they knew the kids would love theirs also. And I'm thinking, there's that love, that word love. Many people walked out of here. I say many, I probably shouldn't use that term. Several people walked out of here last evening and said, we really appreciated the service. It was a wonderful service. You know, it was nicely done and all those things. And I thought, you know, thank you. But one lady walked out and said, you made us feel really comfortable. You made us feel like we were at home. That's what love is all about. That's what God envisioned, I think, when he sent Jesus. And so as we end 2016, I was sitting down this morning listing a lot of things that I am thankful for. And as you look around, in here even, those two wreaths that were barren last year that looked like Charlie Brown wreaths, Bud and Judy Cotman took those down and decorated them. And I was thinking, I really appreciate that. That is so nice. I will give Cindy credit for doing the two on the front door. And the one hanging on my office door, she did those. And it just makes the church look so much better. I thought about, not to put her on the spot, but you know I do that. Nancy, all the work that she goes through to coordinate this, to wrap, to count, cry, to share her time and to give her time. That's love. That's what it's all about. And then I thought about Doug. Poor Doug having to put up with that. But that's what love is. Love is doing all of those things. I thought about the band. When I got here 2 years ago, we had a pianist and Greg, a guitar player. And, I'm sorry, what? Karen played the cornet. And our pianist resigned, and you think, man, what am I going to do? God always has a plan. Man, does he have a plan? I'm thankful for the band. Thankful that people have stepped up. Todd, Scott, Bruce, Brandon, Melody, Chip. Chip's now a percussionist, he told me. But I'm thankful for that as I look back on 2016 and everything that has changed. But I'm thankful for your faithfulness, your love, the cards, the notes, gifts. But I'm most thankful that I am here. Thankful that God has blessed me with you. And thankful for a church that is willing to reach out to people who we do not know. God is amazing. And if it wasn't for him, where would we be? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day. Thankful, Father, for your word, for your people, for the message of salvation. And so, Father, we are about to receive an offering which represents your blessings and your gifts, your goodness and your grace to us. So, Father, we receive that. And we use it to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.